After walking for an hour, Ace and Mal entered a larger tunnel, and a few minutes after that they arrived at a transit junction. There were a few people present, but none of them seemed to take notice of Ace or Mal. Three workers in dirty uniforms were standing next to a platform, waiting for a transport to some unknown destination. There were symbols and words written on a sign above the platform, but Ace couldn't read them. Up ahead, Ace saw a doorway, and through the threshold, a passage that led to a set of stairs. There was a sentry there at the door, scanning biochips before letting people enter the passage.
There's a sentry. Let's find another way.
No, we need his help.
What? No, that's a bad idea.
He's linked into the security network. He can send a message to Eagle's Nest and warn them about Carter.
Ace studied the sentry, watching his robotic movements as he scanned biochips and waved people through the checkpoint. I don't like it.
Don't worry. I'll do all the talking.
Mal walked toward the sentry. Ace followed but stayed slightly behind her. Hazel had spotted the sentry and was hiding behind Ace, and she remembered the last sentry she had tangled with and how he had fried her with his electrified weapon. The sentry scanned the last person in the line as they went through the door and up the stairs. Mal stopped in front of him.
I need you to contact the watch commander in Eagle's Nest. It's urgent.
Eagle's Nest?
Someone is planning an attack. They have a bomb.
The sentry scoffed, his lips curling into a wry smile.
Move along, girl. I don't have time for games.
The sentry tried to grab Mal's shoulder and turn her around, but she shrugged his hand off and stood her ground.
This isn't a game. There's a man, Carter Burns. He's got a small army, and he's going to Eagle's Nest right now.
The sentry shook his head and was about to say something when he spotted Hazel standing behind Ace. He looked at the bot, then at Ace.
Is that a Darva model?
Ace said nothing. Mal moved to block the sentry's view of Ace and Hazel.
I'm Mal and Locke. Carter Burns took us prisoner, but we escaped. He's going to attack Eagle's Nest.
You're a lock, right?
Mal held up her wrist and waved it in front of the sentry's face.
Scan me if you don't believe it.
The sentry sighed, then waved his scanner over her forearm. He keyed in a code on his device and looked at the display for a moment. Ace could see his facial features change, get harder somehow. Ace was just about to say something to Mal when the sentry spoke again.
I've got to clear this with my shift commander first.
Ace studied the sentry's face, noticing his other hand resting on the butt of his weapon, a long-barreled pistol. The sentry tapped his earpiece, activating a comms channel.
This is Delta Sector. I've got a code 12.
The sentry paused as if he was listening to someone talking into his earpiece. Then he motioned to Ace and Mal.
Follow me.
The sentry walked through the door into the passageway. Mal turned, gave Ace a reassuring smile, then followed the sentry. Ace passed the sentry and entered the passageway behind Mal. As soon as he cleared the door, the sentry closed it and keyed the lock with a swipe of his device. Ace looked around. It was a small room with a flight of stairs that led into the darkness. There was no one else around. They were all alone with the sentry. Mal turned just as the sentry pulled his gun out of his holster. He pointed it at Mal and was about to utter some sort of command, but Ace was on him. He had never stopped watching the sentry and saw when his hand went for the gun. Ace threw his body into the sentry and chopped down with his fists on the sentry's forearm, dislodging the weapon from his hand. Hazel darted forward and bit down hard on the sentry's calf. The sentry screamed and then doubled over from the pain. Ace brought his knee up into the sentry's face and split his lip. The sentry fell backwards and landed on his rear end, blood dribbling down his chin. Ace quickly grabbed the gun and pointed it at the sentry, though he had no idea how to use the weapon. The sentry wiped blood from his mouth and glared at Ace.
You're dead. Both of you.
Shut up.
You'll never stop Carter.
The sentry smiled, showing bloody teeth.
Hail a moon.
Mal stepped back in shock, her mouth agape as if she was going to say something but forgot what it was. Ace grabbed the barrel of the gun and swung it hard at the sentry. The handle struck him just above his right ear and knocked him out immediately.
He's one of them. He's one of them.
He scanned me. They're gonna be looking for us.
Mal started to walk in circles. She put her hands to her head as she talked to herself.
He's right. We're dead. They're gonna kill us. I did this. This is all my fault. He tricked me. I'm so stupid.
Ace grabbed Mal's shoulder, stopping her.
Mal, that's not helping.
Mal was still mumbling to herself. Ace took her other shoulder and stared into her eyes, forcing her to focus on something.
We have to go now. We can't stay here. More sentries will be coming.
Mal was silent, but she nodded her head slightly.
Hold on. I have to do something first.
Mal reached into a pouch on the sentry's utility belt and pulled out some restraints. She tossed them to Ace.
Hey, put these on him.
Okay.
Mal unclipped the sentry's VCOM and powered it on. She punched in a code.
What are you doing?
I've got clearance codes for Winter Garden. I'm gonna call Tomas.
Well, do you trust him? He could be part of this too.
No, my uncle is a good man. He'll know what to do.
The VCOM buzzed, then the video display flickered, and Thomas's face could be seen. He looked surprised to see Mal.
Mal, where are you? We've been looking everywhere.
I'm at the sublevel 23 transit junction.
What in God's name are you doing there?
Uncle Tomas, you have to warn Greta. There's going to be an attack on Eagle's Nest.
Who is going to attack Eagle's Nest?
Carter. He's got followers. With guns and a bomb.
Mal, you're not making sense. Just wait there and I'll send a patrol.
No, we can't stay here. They're looking for me. They're gonna take over Eagle's Nest. They told me they were going to the surface.
The surface? Mal, that's insane. What is going on?
Tomas's voice cut in Mal? And out and the Mal? Image began to flicker.
Tomas! Tomas, can you hear me?
I can, but you're cutting in and out.
Tomas! You need to warn them!
But the feed died. Mal punched in more codes, but the VCOM was completely dark. In frustration, she threw it against the wall.
We can't stay here, we have to-
Run! Yeah, I know.
Ace took Mal's hand, pulling her toward the door to the passageway. They re-entered the junction just as an automated rail bus was pulling up to the platform. Ace guided Mal to the transport. They waited until the handful of workers got on and then they boarded, moving to the rear of the compartment. Seconds later, the doors closed with a hydraulic hiss and the rail bus surged forward on the magnetic rails. The transport entered a tunnel and yellow lights switched on. It was quiet on the rail bus. Nobody spoke. One worker was looking at his VCOM, but the rest were all looking at the floor or stared vacantly out the window, or at their own feet. Nobody paid any attention to Ace, Mal, or Hazel.
We can't trust anybody now.
Sounds good to me. I'm used to that.
I should never have listened to Carter. Tomas was telling me the truth. The surface is a wasteland.
I still want to see it for myself.
They rode in silence for a while. Ace sat down in his seat. Hazel lay down on his feet, curled up nose to tail and powered down. Ace stared out the window and watched the passing cave lights. The lights went out in the rail bus and Ace found himself staring at his own reflection in the glass. He could see that Mal had fallen asleep and her head was bobbing side to side. He leaned into her shoulder a tiny bit. She must have felt it because she laid her head on his shoulder after that and went back to sleep. For the rest of the trip, Ace just stared at the reflection in the window and of Mal sleeping peacefully next to him. His mind wandered back to a time when he was very young. His mother had only been dead for a few weeks and he was starving. He had been out foraging for food in the mines when he came across a transit tunnel. He followed the tunnel for a while until it narrowed to a width that gave just enough space for the rail bus. He had heard a shrill wind first, and then the clacking of metal wheels on the rails. A transport was approaching and he was stuck in a narrow section of the tunnel with nowhere to go. The transport was going to run him over. He froze. That's when Deke Bullock appeared. The old miner opened a pressure door that had been obscured in the darkness and pulled Ace into safety just as the transport whooshed by. Ace remembered very clearly, looking at the windows of the rail bus and seeing blurry images of the passengers, unaware that the transport they were riding had almost killed a child. And now, all these years later, Ace was riding on one of those transports for the very first time in his life. He looked out the window and wondered if there was a bunker orphan out there, looking at him from the darkness. Three chimes signaled the rail bus's arrival at the station. Ace nudged Mal gently to wake her up. She woke up and looked disoriented for a moment, then got her bearings as she looked out the window to see a sign.
Barnut Landing. This is our stop.
Ace and Mal exited the rail bus with the other passengers. The transit station was a large, dome-like man-made cave with obvious machine furrows in the rock. It was fairly busy, though Ace had no idea whether they were in a lunar or solar cycle. There were a few stalls with vendors selling garments or other odds and ends. Ace and Mal passed the stalls and headed for a larger structure that had neon lights on the entry. There was a sign above the door.
Is that where we're going?
Yep. The Spelunker. It's a tavern.
I've heard that name before. My friend Deke used to tell me he was going spelunking. He would always come back walking funny.
Mal smiled.
I'll bet he did. Deke liked to drink, huh?
They shrugged.
I don't know.
Just follow my lead. We can get some food and something to drink.
Mal stopped and looked at Hazel.
Oh, they don't allow bots. Hazel's gonna have to stay out here.
Ace nodded and whistled a command. Hazel trotted off behind the structure and out of view. Ace and Mal entered the tavern. There was music playing from some tinny, cracked speakers on the wall. There were dozens of people inside sitting at tables and crowded around a long bar. Most of them looked like miners or engineers, blowing off steam after a long work shift. A few of the men were gambling and joking. It was a rowdy scene. Ace noticed there were no sentries present, and it seemed like law and order was an afterthought in this place.
Will you find us a table? I'm gonna go talk to the bartender.
Ace nodded and turned to look for a table. There was one way in the back against the far wall. He headed for it, making a wide berth around two miners who were arguing and looked like they were ready to throw punches. He passed several tables, his curiosity causing him to steal glances at the various scenes playing out around him. A man and an old woman were kissing at a table. There was a server who was missing one arm that had been replaced with a robotic appendage. A boisterous miner was telling a story to a rapt audience. His face was terribly scarred from some kind of disease or maybe a mining accident. There was a modulator implanted in his throat, and his voice was low-pitched and guttural.
The next round is on me.
These people weren't bunker orphans or dwellers, but they were all outcasts in their own way. Ace finally made it back to his table and sat with his back against the wall so he could see the entire tavern and the entry. Ace looked over toward the bar and saw Mal talking with a tall woman behind the bar. Mal leaned over the bar to hug the woman briefly. They spoke for a while. Once, Mal pointed over towards Ace's table, and the woman looked at him before turning back to Mal. She handed Mal two glasses and then moved off to help another customer. Mal approached the table and put one of the drinks in front of Ace before taking a seat next to him against the wall. Ace looked at the drink.
What's this?
Leech tannin. You've never had it before?
Ace shook his head.
It's good.
Ace picked up the glass and took a tentative sip. It was bitter at first, but had a note of sweetness as he swallowed. It was cold and delicious. Ace took several long gulps, downing half the glass, not realizing how thirsty he was.
Easy there. It's better if you drink it slow.
Ace smiled and wiped his mouth with his sleeve.
That is so good. How do they make it?
Do you really want to know? Boarworm excretion.
Ace made a face.
That's worm shit.
Mal smiled and nodded, taking a sip of her drink. Ace shrugged and drank some more. Mal studied him as he drank.
I still can't believe how you survived down there. There's nothing in the Barrens.
There's boar rooms in the Barrens. But I never would have thought I could drink their shit.
Mal laughed. Ace smiled back at her. His mood felt elevated. He looked around at the people in the tavern. He had never felt comfortable among people, but here he was, surrounded by strangers. And somehow, he felt at ease.
Can I get some more?
Mal shook her head.
One is the limit for us. We've got work to do. There's food coming.
Food?
Yeah, it's pretty good here. You know, you should think about getting a job here. You could help clean up or wash dishes. You could have a pretty good life. I know the owner, and nobody in this place cares if you're chipped or not.
I'm getting out. There's nothing left for me here.
There's nothing for you on the surface either. Just death.
Ace was about to reply, but a tall woman appeared at the table. She set two plates in front of Ace and Mal. The food on the plate was unfamiliar to Ace, but it smelled and looked appetizing. His stomach was growling, but he tried to hold back from grabbing the food with his bare hands and shoving it in his mouth.
Ace, this is my friend Venus.
Ace looked at the woman who stared back at Ace for a moment before speaking.
Hiya, Ace.
She had a thick accent that Ace had heard from a few of the miners. Deke had told Ace there was once another bunker complex that was damaged in the early days of the war. Several refugees were rescued and taken in by Subterra. Those refugees, called the Echoes by native Subterrans, all had the same accent.
She's asking how you are.
Thank you for the drinks and the food.
It's no free.
Venus removed a device that was clipped to her belt. Mal held up her arm and Venus scanned her biochip with the device. She then turned to Ace to scan him, but Mal spoke up.
Oh, he doesn't have to pay. I'll take care of it.
I'll add the customary lock gratuity.
Venus took off her apron and hung it over her chair back before sitting down opposite Ace and Mal. Mal picked up a fork from her plate and started eating. Ace copied her, but using utensils was new to him, and he lost some food on the way from the plate to his mouth. Venus leaned closer, speaking just loud enough for them to hear, but softly enough to avoid anyone who might be listening into their conversation.
You two are all over the VCOM. They're saying you've been nabbed, Mal. By him.
Venus pointed at Ace, who stopped chewing and spoke, though his mouth was full of food.
That's a lie!
Welcome to Subterra, kid.
You have to help us get to Eagle's Nest. Carter is on his way there.
Venus sat back and crossed her arms, staring at Mal.
What did I tell you about Carter Burns and his son fanatics? Don't trust him, I said. Everything that comes out of his mouth is a lie.
But...
Venus cut her off.
I know. And then he smiled at you with those white teeth and you saw the glint in his blue eyes. And everything he said was suddenly milk and honey. He told you there was a Garden of Eden up there, and you believed every word. Carter is no better than your grandfather's media machine. You should know by now everything is a lie in Subterra. There are only two truths. Suffering and death.
Okay. I was an idiot, all right? You told me so. But now I need some help.
Venus shook her head.
What can I do? No sentry is going to believe a word I say. They'll put me in the cry house just for serving you some food.
Mal stared at Venus, her eyes narrowing.
You owe me, Venus.
I don't owe you anything.
You owe my family. You owe my mother. She pulled you out of the rubble of Echo Noble and brought your bleeding carcass back to Subterra. She saved your life. And now she's in trouble. Carter is going to attack Eagle's Nest if we don't stop him.
Venus stared back at Mal, but her body language shifted. She uncrossed her arms, leaning in again.
There is a passage not far from here. The Echoes used it once to smuggle synth to the soldiers in Eagle's Nest. When your mother found out about it, she had it sealed, but we tunneled around and found another way in. It hasn't been used since the Cynthia's outbreak of a couple orbital cycles back, but it should be passable.
I don't know. Carter's got a head start. He's taking the Sunderland route.
Doesn't matter. He's going to have to deal with a cave-in or two, and that place is crawling with spine tails. The smuggler's tunnel is a straight shot. You'll beat into Eagle's Nest easily.
Can you take us there?
Nay, but you can use this to get inside the passage.
Venus discreetly passed a small metal rod to Mal.
It's just north of here, maybe half a kilometer through the transit zone. The keypad is hidden in a vein of blue quartz. The key will glow brighter the closer you get.
Did you come here from another bunker?
I did. Were
you on the surface? Did you see anything?
They put a mask on me when they pulled me out. My eyes were nearly swollen shut.
You didn't see anything?
They put me on the back of a spider tank. I looked up and saw an endless cloud of nothing. All I heard were the screams of my kin dying in that bunker as we drove away.
Just then, the door to the tavern was thrown open. Ace and Mal looked up to see the sentry in the doorway. Reyna was beside him and two followers were behind her. Mal grabbed the key and got to her feet.
Ace, out the back!
Ace shoved the last of his food in his mouth and followed Mal to the back exit. The good feeling from the leech tannin instantly left his body. The appearance of the sentry caused immediate chaos in the tavern. A few of the miners bolted for a rear exit. Other patrons darted behind the bar and entered a kitchen area. The sentry and Reyna moved into the tavern, scanning the room for Ace and Mal. There was a mass of people trying to get out of the back exit, and it was blocked. Mal tried to push her way through. Looking back, Ace saw the sentry had spotted them and was approaching fast. A miner lunged at the sentry, trying to attack him with a chair. The sentry fired his weapon. A sonic blast of energy slammed into the miner, sending him flying backwards. People started screaming inside the tavern. The crowd was still crushed against the back exit. There was no escape. Ace saw Reyna and the two cultists fanning out, blocking any escape out the front.
Find Hazel! Take her with you!
What? Why?
But Ace didn't respond. He moved toward the sentry, staying low, hiding in the crowd as he advanced.
Ace, no!
Ace snuck behind the sentry and leapt on his back. The sentry fired his weapon again, but the blast went high, impacting against the ceiling of the tavern, knocking out lights and showering debris on the people near the back. They pushed forward toward the door, knocking people down and trampling them. Mal watched as Ace struggled with the sentry. Reyna appeared with her cattle prod and pressed into Ace's ribs. Ha! He screamed and fell off the sentry. Mal tried to go back towards Ace, wanting to help him, but the patrons surged forward like a tidal wave. She was swept along with them.
Ace! Ace!
Her scream was swallowed up by Ace! The noise of the mob. Mal's face was full of emotion, and she turned once more, but couldn't see Ace. Someone pushed her, shoving her forward. She managed to keep her balance. Seconds later, she was through the back door.
Subterra, written and produced by Steve Kruger and Warren Davis. Performed by
Marty Yu,
Cece Boyce,
Doug Perkins,
Hugh Fink,
and
Cassandra Cardenas.